Hello, welcome to Front Page Radio with your host, international journalist Dan Wooding, the founder of Assist Ministries and the Assist News Service. Dan has been a journalist now covering the world for nearly 40 years with a focus on missions. And now here's Dan Wooding to start the show with a news update.
Welcome to today's Front Page Radio. And for many of you who are regular listeners to the program will know that I've recently been in Kurdistan. And Kurdistan is in northern Iraq. They call it the other Iraq because it's the safe place, the place where there's very little danger to visit. While I was there, I was visiting various churches, and everywhere I went, people kept saying, "Have you met Pastor Dave Gonzalez from Calvary Chapel?" And I was absolutely astonished that there was a Calvary Chapel pastor who was so well known in Kurdistan. And so I've managed to force him into the studio today, and I am just so delighted, Pastor Dave, to have you in the program.
Oh, it's great to be here. Great to be here.
Now, you're the pastor of Cerritos. Cerritos is nothing like Kurdistan.
Nothing.
How on earth did a Southern California pastor finish up ministering in Kurdistan?
Well, I'm a what they call a mission-minded pastor. Our church is involved, although it's a small fellowship. We're very involved in missions, literally worldwide, and everything from Africa to Mexico, now to the Middle East. And after coming through some health issues for a couple of years, I was looking to get back out in the field, and made some calls to, like, my good friend Wes Bentley with Far Reaching, and that didn't pan out. Got in touch with Saving Grace regarding Sri Lanka. That didn't work out. So was left to this opportunity with Iraq and teaching pastors there, which I love to do.
Now, how did that happen then? Was there someone who visited there told you about it, or what?
A good friend of mine who I met in 98 on my first trip to South Sudan, named Bill Aegis. He operates a mission. It's kind of an affiliated Calvary Mission organization called Mission International. He had been telling me that he was going to be going into Iraq to teach pastors, and he knew that I'd want to go when that would happen. So he contacted me, and that's kind of developed from there. So,
and were you terrified when you went?
No, actually, I was aware that northern Iraq was, or otherwise known as Kurdistan, was fairly safe, fairly secure. And in comparison to Sudan, where literally there were foxholes and night bombings and things like that, it was quite peaceful. Mm. But just to name Iraq causes people
yes,
to recoil.
Yeah. And your wife sitting next to you in the studio, did she try and talk you out of it?
No, not a bit. She's actually a little bit more adventurous than I. I could see her living in Sudan, for instance, and I'd have a hard time doing that.
Yes, yeah. Now, when you went over there, I know that you ministered with a wonderful African-American called Heath Kerlock. And I was in Dohuk, one of the cities there, recently, and this huge, I don't know whether he's about 6'7", he looks like a basketball player. Mm-hmm. I got talking to him, and he mentioned your name immediately. Tell us a little bit about this character.
Heath is a wonderful guy. Keeping pretty constant contact with him. I could actually see him as presidential material someday. He's a remarkable young man. I met him. I myself and Bill Aegis drove from Erbil to Dohuk on a given day when we were there back in October. And we taught at a little church there in Dohuk. And as I was halfway through the message, I looked up, and sitting at the back of the church was this large black guy in the middle of this church, and it was a little distracting because I thought, what is he doing here? Because immediately I said, I'm not in LA.
Yeah.
And so after the study, I went and sat down, and he's just sitting there silently, and I leaned over and I said, what in the world are you doing here?
Yeah.
And he was one of these guys you meet, one of these people you meet, where in my case, you strike it off right away. He is just a dear friend immediately. And we began to talk. He was there teaching English, and also a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, and just
He shared with me that he started off in Da Nang in Vietnam, mm-hmm, with his teaching career. Then he went to the West Bank, and now he's in northern Iraq. Yeah. He likes all the easy jobs.
Yeah.
he's there really teaching English, but also sharing his beliefs with the people as
right.
well.
Right. This seems to be one of the effective ways of of number one, establishing relationships, which is imperative in sharing the gospel.
Yes.
And then people seeing in him, in his case for sure, the love of Jesus Christ, and it intrigues people.
And I'm sure to have an African American there.
Yes.
And he was telling me he's on TV regularly, so they all know him in the streets. And it's sort of quite unusual that a black Christian would be actually a mini celebrity, you know. And I thought it was fascinating.
Yes. And it's just it was a real privilege to meet him, because I'm supposed to, if plans pan out, I'm supposed to go back and do his wedding in December. So,
wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Now, while I was in Dohuk, I also interviewed the deputy governor, who's an Assyrian. And he belongs to a very old church, which he claims, now the church building I'm not talking about, but the denomination, the Assyrian Church of the East. And he said that he was founded by Thomas the Apostle. And we know very little about these Eastern churches, particularly the Assyrian churches. Did you learn very much about them while you were in Kurdistan?
The main thing that comes to mind is they're very zealous.
Yes.
They have a fairly good grasp of the gospel. They are very loving people.
Yeah.
And they do go back a long ways. I think they still deal with a lot of the cultural Christianity that we deal with here.
Yeah. It's very liturgical, isn't it?
Yes. And you know, unfortunately, some of the more what would be called high churches, the liturgical churches, they actually find themselves many times in opposition to the evangelical churches there, which is not uncommon in the world.
Yes, yeah.
And so, I mean, even to the point where families will have somewhat of a wall between the evangelicals who are, quote, saved, and those that belong to those more traditional, you know, like the Coptic or the churches like that.
What I found intriguing talking to this man is he said that they hold their services in Aramaic, and that's the language that Jesus spoke, and they must be the only people on earth that still speak the language that Jesus spoke. I mean, that's quite fascinating, isn't it?
Very unique area. Just the people are just, I don't know if you're aware of the not this past Calvary magazine, but the magazine before, I wrote an article regarding my preconceived ideas regarding the people of the Middle East, which was really rather harsh and unchristian-like after 9/11. And the transformation that happened to me when I landed in our first stop in Amman, Jordan, which was just almost like a road to Damascus kind of a thing. And I think that's where we can struggle in our view of the people of the Middle East as Americans, especially in this time in our history. Going to Kurdistan will break every stereotype we'll ever have of people of the Middle East.
Well, some of the most loving people I've ever met. And we were in another church, and it was the strangest thing, Dave. You would understand that, but people who've never traveled wouldn't. The worship was like worship anywhere in the world. It was, you know, they had the band, they had the worship leaders, and people were clapping, and just, it was very joyful. And it made you realize that wherever you are in the world, you're part of the body of Christ. And I think the trouble with people that may be in America is that we don't realize that we're just a tiny part of the body of Christ. We're not the body of Christ.
Right.
We're just a tiny part.
Right.
When you've been to Kurdistan, what have you learned from the believers there?
I've believed, I from the believers, I saw a and desire to have the same uninhibited love and expression of love for their Savior. Whether it's Sudan or in Kurdistan or where any believers are persecuted, there's a spirit of celebration regarding their salvation. It isn't something that's business as usual. They are, I just envy their ability to fully embrace their salvation. And in any situation they're in, they're able to truly experience the New Testament level of joy that isn't dependent upon their surroundings or their circumstances. And I've learned that from them.
And what about this pastor I met over there, we won't mention his name for security reasons, but he told me that you'd linked him up with the Calvary website where he could get Arabic books, and then you took the Calvary Distinctives book, and I've got a message now to Pastor Chuck saying that his teaching's even reaching into Iraq these days. But tell us about that. You got this pastor who was obviously desperate to find teaching materials, and you turned him on to some of Pastor Chuck's books.
He's an unusual, neat guy, just a wonderful, he's young pastor, has a young church. As a matter of fact, my son's fiance attends his church and belongs to the worship group in his church, and that's a whole long story in itself, a wonderful story. He's really kind of what you'd call a cutting edge kind of a guy. He belongs to a denomination, and the denominations are doing good work there. However, you know, he's more hungry. So I said, hey, you know, there's a lot of really good teachings. I'll try and find books for you. So I got a hold of Calvary Distribution, and there weren't a lot of printed books. But the girl there on the phone directed me to a website where he could download Chuck's books that were translated. And so there must have been three or four that he was able to have access to. And the last trip, I did bring him some commentaries and things like, he does read English. He's an engineer. And so he has really enjoyed the simplicity of what we find in, for instance, the Calvary government, church government. Mm. And so he's real excited. His wife was, we went to lunch with his wife and him and the kids, and we were there. And she was saying, well, what are the churches like there in America? I said, well, I said, I know what our church is like. I said, you know, she wanted to know what they looked like. And I said, well, you know, they have chairs and or pews. And then normally on the wall, there's a big dove hanging on the wall. And she says, I would like to have a dove in our church. So, which brings me to this real thing that I have about, I mean, I pray about it, that called men would be moved to go to Kurdistan and plant Calvary chapels.
Yes, yeah.
You know, wow. There is a need.
Really, so when you're over there, do you feel afraid at all? Do you feel any danger?
Not one bit. Hmm. Not one bit. I'm not saying anything disparaging, but I've been, you know, to Kampala, Nairobi numerous times, and those are intense cities. You sense just a level kind of lawlessness.
Yeah.
In any city in northern Iraq, you don't feel that at all. The people are amazing, and they do, contrary to what a lot of people think, for the most part, they love Americans. They're very, very loving with us, and they're glad we're there. And so, no, it's very safe. And my son, he was visiting his fiance, and he would walk at night, just totally safe.
Which you couldn't do here in the LA area, could
not
you?
Really. Not really.
One of the things that really interests me is that many of the Assyrian Christians seem to be pressing to have their own district in on the Nineveh Plain. I believe that Mosul used to be called Nineveh. Mm-hmm. And they are saying, look, you know, the whole country's getting divided up. This is Iraq into all these different areas. Why can't we have a Christian area which is safe for the Christians on the Nineveh Plain? Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't heard anything specifically on that. However, in Erbil, I know that there is an area, kind of a suburb, that's called Ankawa. Uh-huh. And that's where the vast majority of Christians live.
Yeah.
And I think that just happened naturally in that. But as far as a specific agenda or project to get a Christian, I'm not aware of that.
Yes, yeah. I understand, although the main group of people in Kurdistan are Kurdish people, I think there's four different Kurdistans. I think one in Iraq, which is the one we've been to, the one in Iran, one in Turkey, and I think one in Syria. And they're the only group in the world with such a large number of people that don't actually have their own homeland.
Right.
And it looks like they won't get it for quite a while because they're particularly not liked in Turkey. But they've welcomed in a lot of Christians from other parts of Iraq, where the violence is. Did you ever meet any of those believers that had come in, you know, for protection from Baghdad and that?
Actually, yes, we met quite a few. There was two young guys come to mind. I won't mention their names, but they came in from Iran, and they were devoted Christians, young guys. I think one is actually in the ministry or headed that way. Their father was murdered because they had become Christians. Mm. He was not, but he paid the price of their salvation, and they were there. And the pressure these refugees live with is intense. Emotional pressure, just the tragedies that they go through, and so they do flee up to, and I'm, the thing is you're familiar with Facebook.
Sure.
I keep in contact every day, virtually, with dozens of people in Iraq today, and they're always either from Baghdad, Duhok, Erbil, and so there's this constant communication. I've done ministry over instant messaging, and some of them are dealing with problems of being refugees. And but I do know many of them, and they're incredible people.
We're speaking with Pastor Dave Gonzalez, who's in studio with his lovely wife, who I believe travels with him as well. Can you just introduce your wife? I know she doesn't want to come on the mic, but who she is?
My wife Jenny is truly humble. she is off the microphone right now, but she's very much into travel, and she has made a great many close, dear friends, both in Africa and Sudan and in Iraq. They wait for her to return to share her insight and God's word with them.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I couldn't do this without her.
Now, you just explained something that I find absolutely amazing, that you're using the new technology to encourage the believers in Iraq. Can you go into that a little bit more?
There are, like I said, the revival, which we really didn't mention, there is a revival going on in Iraq right now. And within this revival, which is typical, as we saw within the Calvary movement early in the 70s, young people. Mm. And they're zealous, they're innocent, they're excited. And so, like any young person, which I've come to find, they have problems just like anywhere else. And a lot of them are college students. And many of them doubt their worthiness of Christ. They struggle with that. They struggle with relationships. They have friends that are Muslims, and some of them are attracted to Muslims as far as like romantically, and but they know that they're not to go into that area.
Yeah.
So they will instant message me, and they'll say, I have this problem. What do you think? And I will tell them, well, it's not what I think. Let's see what the Word says. And I'll do counseling sometimes for up to an hour and a half. And and it's just a blessing. And I could see that where the media and the technologies can be used by the enemy so effectively, we can also use it for God.
And you use Facebook as well.
I use Facebook.
Is Facebook for the more sort of open stuff that there isn't any security problems?
There could be, but there doesn't seem to be any real concern. There was initially some problems or concerns about putting their pictures on Facebook and stuff. And then when you realize that they're putting their own pictures up, identifying who they are and things, they're just enjoying the fact that they're Christians, and their boldness is there. So
yes,
there doesn't seem to be much problem at all.
Now, when you go to Iraq, people just see this terrible succession of, if it bleeds, it leads, you know, bodies and bombs and terrible things. But there's quite a lot of biblical history, I believe, in Iraq. Were you able to visit any of those sites?
Yes, and it was, even when you're there, for instance, we were, the last time we were there on a teaching mission, this was on the Iraqi side, it was funded by the Joshua Fund on the Iraqi side, which was bringing people from Baghdad and so forth. We did a 5-day conference in Duhok, teaching through the book of Ephesians. And then on the way back, a lady who is a refugee missionary who operates out of Canada, and her name is Insof, she said, let's stop at Nahum's tomb.
Huh.
I'm like, that sounds like a Bible guy, you know? So we did.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it was in this very remote village.
Yeah.
in a very, very dilapidated, I guess it was a synagogue at one time, and they moved his bones and his tomb into this room, and they had to unlock the doors, and they let us walk down into it, and there's his tomb. And you look at this and you're like, this guy heard from God, you know, and he's not all that far from Mosul or Nineveh.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just is, you know, you read the Bible, you teach the Bible, and you realize, hey, here's one of the Bible guys. And yeah, we did get to see that. And then to be in the area where Abraham had all his activity going on and finding the wife for his son, and then that happening this very trip for us, yes, with yeah. me and my son Andrew. Very profound time we had. Profound.
Dave, take a moment. We're talking with Pastor Dave Gonzalez from Calvary Chapel, Cerritos. Tell us, or give a challenge to people listening who are afraid to get involved in overseas missions, are terrified. And I've mentioned this before, but I asked George Verwer, the founder of Operation Mobilization, you know, what would he like to say to people who say it's too dangerous to go on an overseas mission? And he said, I can't think of a more dangerous place to live than an American city. He said, you've got more danger going on to the airport to LAX if you're living here than when you go to the country.
Yeah.
You know, you've been to some very dangerous places, and yet you haven't had any problems.
No.
Just give us a little challenge, a missions challenge, people listening, why they should be involved in overseas missions.
I've been asked by young guys who are fearful, and they're capable. They may have even been formally trained and prepared and called, but they're fearful. And they'll ask me, how do you know you're supposed to go?
Mm.
And I tell them, it's in the Bible. It says, go out to all the world. It doesn't say stay. Go out to all the world and take my message, my love, and my gospel to the world. And so I tell my church on a regular basis, Christians, and I tell the people who are listening, Christians are outreach creatures. This is a missionary venture that even Jesus said, I'm going to be coming back. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be leaving now. And we are missionary creatures. If we don't outreach, if we don't go out and basically obey the Great Commission, we're doing something abnormal.
Mm.
And we'll never, ever develop into the fullness of what the Lord has for us. And we really don't want to miss, as Pastor Chuck says, we don't want to miss anything that God has for us.
Mm.
And take the step, do something that seems impossible, and God will astound you.
Are you amazed when you're like back in Kurdistan? What's a kid from Southern California doing in Kurdistan? Does that sometimes pass through your mind?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The first trip, I went with a guy that I just really admire. I almost look at him as a mentor. His name's Jeff Fadness from Calvary Chapel in Pocatello. He's a senior pastor there. And we're both fairly experienced senior pastors and mission pastors. And
yeah.
And we both looked at each other when we landed in Amman, Jordan, and we said, we're in Amman. We couldn't believe it. Was like a dream. Every time we go out there, we can't believe God has blessed us to take us out there.
Yes, yeah.
And he can do that for anybody.
Now tell me, what are some of the prayer requests that you'd like people to pray about for the Christians of Kurdistan and Iraq?
I would say right now that my main concern and what would be the thing that prompted us to go back was, and it was totally a surprise to us, is we really do see a need for systematic, verse by verse, chapter by chapter teaching of the full counsel of God's word. And my prayer is that there will be men who maybe hear, this has been my prayer regarding this program, that there will be men out there that hear this and would answer the call to go to a northern Iraq and actually plant a church by faith and watch God work so that they can take his word there. Because frankly, the revival that's going on, and we told one of the prominent pastors there, the revival that's going on will, as they say, go sideways, will diminish or water down unless God's word is not systematically taught. Because we've already seen heresies going in with certain teachers, faith teachers, certain books going in there, and they're so thirsty to learn. Mm. You know how it is when you're a new Christian. They will just inhale everything. And so we need to get good, solid Bible teaching there.
So if somebody feels God's put it on their heart to maybe do what you've just said, how do they contact you?
Well, they can contact me through the website, through my our church number.
Give us the website. Can you remember?
It's calvarychapelcerritos.org.
That's a difficult one, isn't it?
Okay. calvarychapelcerritos.org.
And that's how I contacted you originally. Yeah. There's a little contact form.
Right.
And if God has put it on your heart to maybe get involved in teaching or visiting or even planting a church in Kurdistan, that would be absolutely wonderful. And finally, just in a few seconds, how can people pray for you and your family?
That we would always remain fresh and appreciative for the work that Jesus did for us first, and that we would always be a accurate representation of him and what he wants them to see in him and his love for them.
We've been speaking with Pastor Dave Gonzalez, who keeps going to Kurdistan, and I think what a blessing. I've just been there. Finally, the website again.
CalvaryChapelCerritos.org.
Calvary Chapel Cerritos. And if God's put it on your heart to get involved with Kurdistan, please contact Pastor Dave. Thank you so much for being on the program today.
You have been listening to Front Page Radio with international journalist Dan Wooding. If you would like a free subscription to the Assist News service, just log on to their website at assistnews.net. If you would like to write to Dan, please send your letter to him at Assist, P.O. Box 609, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please don't forget to tune in next time for another edition of Front Page Radio on this same station.